You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. June half gone. I mean, July, middle of summer, man. Get on the backside of July, end of summer. Big story today. That's right. The long-awaited Inspector General. Just when you thought that it can't get worse, it does. Yeah, so we'll see what that has. And I think the thing that's going to be disturbing for a lot of us, and I talked about a conversation I had with a friend the other day, about people that put their hand on the scale of justice. It's not your job, bro. Your job is not to influence things. You're supposed to be a civil servant. And clearly people think that they have the right to put their hand on the scale, evidently. And we're going to find out about it today. And then when you do it in the midst of a presidential election, and the insinuation is you did it to influence the outcome, of the election. That's pretty disturbing stuff. And again, I've always rejected the whole notion of this discussion of the deep state and nefarious actors. But I mean, I don't know how you can't look at that now and say, you know, why are they why are these leaks happening? If not to influence things in a certain direction, why are these things happening? You know, and again, if you take the politics out of it, you know, and even if you switch the characters, let's just say that Donald Trump had the server. You know, is he any less culpable? No, I mean, the law says that, you know, and again, when the FBI interviewed her, she wasn't under oath. Why would a candidate for the office of President of the United States be afraid to go under oath? Oh, because they might perjure themselves? They might have to take the Fifth to not incriminate themselves? You know, so, I don't know. I mean, it's just, like I said, it's pretty depressing. So we're going to get an accelerated shot of depression. So get ready to just when you thought it was bad, just got worse. One thing I'll say, I'm not Donald Trump's biggest fan. I'm a fan of his policies. I'm a fan of him not being afraid to be less diplomatic than his predecessors and call people out. I think that's a necessary. The political niceties that allowed North Korea, that allowed Iran to go so far down the road of developing nuclear weapons, in my opinion, are ridiculous for a powerful nation. And so I don't think that's how a powerful nation should behave. I think a powerful nation, if it's interested in preventing wars, needs to act. And so but as I said, I'm a fan of, you know, I think he's spot on relative to securing the border. I think he's correct in having a broader approach to the Dreamers. Not only those who registered, but those who didn't. If you're here as a Dreamer, you know, and you're afraid to register, there is room for you. And then I think that it's not often discussed because nobody wants to go there, but some kind of legal status short of citizenship for their parents. Plead guilty to this misdemeanor, keep your nose clean, and you won't be deported. Okay? I think that's ultimately where the nation is headed. There is no deportation for 11 million people. Sorry about that. But so I think his policies are, and I don't believe in the whole notion of globalization. As I talked about the last few days, I'm reading about globalization, right? It's garbage. Because, you know, it's all predicated free trade, right? Free trade. Well, wait a minute. What about internally the way you subsidize your industry? Is that on the menu for us to discuss? Oh, no. What goes on in terms of what we do internally? That's our business. Oh, so free trade is everything after that. I get it. Well, that's not free trade. That's bullshit. So, anyway, I don't believe in that. I think where nations have common ground, they come together. I think that the United States has underwritten the world's defense, the Western free democracy's defense. The American taxpayer right now is currently footing the bill for Germany's defense. Excuse me. Is that right? Well, that's the world that we've carved out for yourself. Um, And also, I think part and parcel of that little world that we've carved out is we also pay to stabilize them economically. And we've done that historically because we've got a big economy. So we've negotiated deals that have been not exactly in our specific interests, but for the greater good. We've taken that hit. Okay, well, I think we can conclude that after World War II, 70-plus years in the rearview mirror, we're over that, okay? These are mature democracies. These are mature economies. They can go ahead and fend for themselves, and we can level that playing field. Yes? No. Oh, okay. And I think it's appropriate the president calls him out. What you know, the president has a tendency that in everything he does to overstate it. Everything. And you know, he does not know moderation, and he should learn that. Because some of the things that he said relative to North Korea are inappropriate for the President of the United States. It's quintessentially Donald Trump, right? And, for instance, North Korea is not a threat. No longer a nuclear threat. Now, okay, if I appropriately footnote, I think what I understand is he's saying is, based on my conversation with him, I believe that North Korea has no interest in launching nuclear weapons, is not a nuclear threat to us anymore, and we will go down this path together to wherever it leads. Okay, but they are not a nuclear. Now, I believe that's the appropriate footnotes, but that's not what the statement says. Okay. And then what spools then, based on his bloviating, is instead of discussing the future and the ongoing negotiations we have to, and it is part of the 24-hour news cycle, that's why you should shut it off, you get into these crazy discussions like, what exactly did he mean by that? If you take him literally, it means this. If you take him figuratively and you insert the appropriate footnotes, then you can make it make sense. So what will our friends say? Will they put in the appropriate footnotes? Not all of them will. It's reckless, but, you know, and so you hear that. So I wish he wasn't the way he is. There you go. I wish he wasn't the way he is. And somebody sent me an email yesterday and said, Mac, do you think that this ensures that he'll be reelected? The people that elected him that live in flyover country, do you think he's done anything to diminish their support? The answer to that question is no. So flyover country, I would say they've only increased what he's done is further their beliefs in their vote. He's a Washington outsider. He lays the wood to people. You know, right? The FBI and the Department of Justice, what this report is going to say is the inside the Beltway gang has gone wrong. So I think that the economy, all they've seen is bigger numbers. The tax break has impacted a lot of people, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people, and they like that. So do I think he'll be reelected? Put on top of that, let's just say that over the course of the next 2.5 years that that we continue to make further progress with North Korea. Tell me how he's not going to get reelected unless he's indicted for some crime. To me, Donald Trump for 8 years. And who would run against him? Right? Well, I don't know. It's certainly not going to be Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren won't beat him. Or somebody from that faction of the Democratic Party. They won't hold the middle. They will not hold the middle. Their ideas in terms of turning the United States into a socialist country are too radical for a lot of people in the middle. So who would be the candidate? Joe Biden? Would he beat him? I don't know. So I think Donald Trump's going to be around for a while. I wish you would dial down, right, the rhetoric. Okay? Dial down. As Colonel Joe Dunford told me, never pass up an opportunity to shut your mouth in front of a general officer. Pretty good advice. But Donald Trump, I mean, one of his favorite things to do is to stand around and kind of shoot the shit with the media. And then what comes out of his mouth is like stunning. You know, when he got asked, he's standing there shooting the shit with the reporters outside the White House after the North Koreans leave, right? And he gets asked about the letter. Oh, it was a wonderful letter. Wouldn't you like to know what was in the letter? And then he goes on, and later on he says, but I haven't read the letter yet. You're like, what? What? Yeah, exactly. Gunners. What? And so, it's like, that's an unforced error, man. You didn't have to say that. My God. And so, anyway, as I watch the news, you hear some of the things he says, and just like, I know it's your enthusiasm. And then, in my opinion, there's a certain amount of diplomacy and diplomatic language that you have to, observe, that you have to be respectful of him. Right? And so do I want to focus on all of his human rights abuses and all of that? No, I don't want to focus on that. Why? Because I want to wish him away? No, I don't want to wish him away. But there's a bigger fish here to fry, okay? Before I can help the people of North Korea, my first responsibility is to the population of the United States of America and then to our allies. The responsibility for the people of North Korea is not my primary agenda item. And let me be real with you. My primary, so there's a certain amount of dancing that you have to do. And we all respect that. But you don't need to like dance with them too much. You don't need to start grinding on them. Yeah. Throttle back, man. Keep a little space while you're doing the dance. All right? Yeah, keep your pelvises apart, okay? Don't start doing that. That's not a good place. You don't want to be there. So, I mean, I get it. You don't want to call them out, you know, and again, I would tell you that that is the tactic of, right, detractors and people that don't want to see it happen, is you say, well, you know, he didn't say anything he didn't say anything about human rights. There's bigger fish to fry, bro. So we're going to flush a nuclear agreement down the shitter for human rights? Okay, so let me get this straight. What are we in the United States? How many million people? 300 plus million? Add in Korea. All right, add in Japan. So what are the populations? 400 million people? World populations. United States, 326. All right, 326. Let me find Japan. Japan, 127. Ooh, it's going to be a bigger number than I thought. How about Korea? South Korea, 51. All right, let me do my Catholic school math. 13, 14, 0, 1. 500, a half a billion people. A half a billion people. Let me see if I could find North Korea on here. North Korea, 26 million. Okay, so I have 504 million on one side, and I have 26 million on this side. And my responsibility to those 26 million is what? To put them in front of the 504 million? Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. That shit doesn't work like that. So I'm okay with some of the dancing. It has to be done. But keep the pelvises apart. Keep the pelvises apart. All right. That's a move. Let's leave it in the high school gymnasium. It doesn't belong to the President of the United States. Okay? So, anyway, just some thoughts on the President's tendency to overstate everything he does. Right? And it is him. But be careful with it. All right, let me tell you what we're going to do today on the program. What we're going to do on the program is... the Commandant of the Marine Corps was at the Naval War College earlier this week, and he talked about he gave the keynote address at the Naval War College 69th Annual Current Strategy Forum. So I thought you should listen to it. I think I love listening to speeches that these guys give because it allows them to talk in detail. And allows us to hear him in detail. So we'll do that today. We'll check news headlines, which we haven't done in a couple of days. And then we'll talk to the gunner. I talked to the gunner yesterday. Last night, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. So, I tell him, I said, hey, yesterday in the battlefield studies, Duffy... otherwise known to Mike as Colonel White, right? But he never calls him Colonel White. He calls him Duffy. Because Mike thought he was a brigadier. Mike thought he was a brigadier general or a major general. I'm not exactly sure. But he thinks he's a general officer. Yeah, Duffy. Yeah, so anyway, Duffy, is that Colonel White to you there, Pineapple Man? No, that would be Duffy to me. I called him and I said, hey, Duffy tells it pretty funny, the story about Mike getting, I don't want to say electrocuted, but Mike gets zapped by arcing electricity during a dust storm. So one of the things that, and I don't know what the air temperatures were for this dust storm, but the one for mine, like I said yesterday, it was like opening your oven when that rush of hot air, that's what the wind was like. So I don't know what the air temperatures were during the dust storm, during the march up, but a lot of static electricity in the air. Duffy said you could see, on occasion, electricity arcing between the two antennas on the back of the vehicle. Mike reached up to do something, and he gets zapped, right? So they're in the turret, Duffy on one side, on the vehicle commander side. I can't remember. Mike would have been on the side that had the machine gun, you know. So Duffy commanding the battalion, Mike commanding the vehicle, Duffy on the radio most of the time talking to other people. So anyway, so Mike turns around while they're at a halt, and he gets zapped, and he gets knocked out, and he goes down on the vehicle. I don't know if he fell back down into the turret. We'll ask him to tell the story in more detail today. He fell into the turret, and he's knocked out. And Duffy says, I thought he was dead. And Duffy says, I thought he was dead. And then he hears Mike groan as he's trying to, like, look, get to him and look, get after him. He hears Mike. He goes, Duffy says, Gunner, what happened? I don't know. And I don't know why I think that's funny. So I call Mike and tell him, and he goes, oh, you think that's funny? I said, well, yeah, it is. Duffy's funny storyteller. Mike starts laughing. He goes, I don't know what hit me. So anyway, so we'll ask Mike about that. But the one and only, General Musselman, will join us. Yeah. So that's the program this morning. And we'll wait for headlines. I mean, again, it's almost, you almost cringe. Like, what's going to come out of this? All right? What's going to come out of this report? And when you hear the details, it's going to be, holy shit, man. And again, if you thought, and again, I think James Comey, so far in over his head as the director of the FBI, it's ridiculous. I thought that for a long time. The meeting in the Oval Office told me that he was not the guy to lead the FBI. When news about that came out, it was ridiculous. That instead of when the president brought up the subject of the investigation, instead of looking the president straight in the eye as the director of the FBI saying, I can't talk to you about that. And then the president can fire your ass. And that's fine. And then you can go hold your press conference and say, he brought this subject up, and I went ahead and I ended the conversation. I left the Oval Office. That's his responsibility. He's not supposed to go down that road. And he's supposed to keep the president from going down that road. So there was no obstruction of justice. He attempted a conversation, I ended it, blah, blah. But instead, he stands there and engages in it, and he continues to engage in it, and then he goes out and he takes his little notes to protect himself. That's bullshit. So, anyway, I'm not a Comey fan. And so, this whole thing is gross. And I think it also implicates, Loretta Lynch as the Attorney General. Plainly, you know, playing partisan politics with the Department of Justice, which isn't supposed to happen. But you've heard the president say, I wish I had an attorney general like Eric Holder. Eric Holder had Barack Obama's back at every corner. So, anyway, so we'll find out more today. Ugh. All right, United States Marine Corps band makes today official. I'm headed to a funeral for Lorraine Aronson. She is the mother of a friend of mine, passed away, I think, close to a month ago, and the funeral will be this morning, so I'll be in Dana Point for that. She is 91 years old, and was fully functional throughout those 91 years. And so I told my friend, Marianne, I said, you know how lucky you are? I lost my mom when I was probably about 25. I mean, she didn't die. She was still alive, but she was not my mom anymore. You know, she was a different person. And her mom has always been her mom. And so, you know, I think that I would just recommend to everybody, that's a lofty goal, right? To, and again, sometimes physically it's, you know, things happen and people can't be those things, but her mom was always still able to be her mom. And I said, you won the lottery, man. You won the lottery. For most of us, that doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen for nearly as long as you had your mom. So celebrate her life. You know, I'll tell you, it's one incredible lesson that I've taken away from all the death I've been around in my life. It's, understanding how to celebrate life and why you do celebrate life and your good grace for having somebody in your life. So yeah, I'll be doing that today. Then I got to go pick up Colleen. Yep. And then the Yankees are on. So yeah, that's my day. More of All Marine Radio after we open the program with, hey, did you see that 8th and I is going to, if you haven't seen 8th and I in a while, this summer, instead of doing the Tuesday Sunset Parade that normally went up at the the Marine Corps Memorial across the river in Arlington, right, where the statue is. The sculpture is not a statue. With the big-ass sculpture of the Iwo Jima flag raising. They're going to do that at the Lincoln Memorial this summer. That's going to be awesome. Yeah. That's going to be awesome. So, anyway, good morning. James Comey's going to get hammered in this report, right? Right. So who does James Comey work for? Does he head the department? Yes, he heads the FBI. Okay. Who does he work for? Oh, he works for the Attorney General. So was this a very widely, was this a big story or a minor story that we're now diving into and now we're finding errors and now it's becoming a big story? Oh no, it was the biggest story of the year. So if Comey is wrong, where was the Attorney General? Oh, she was okay that he was wrong. That's interesting. Okay. This is dedicated to a nation governed by laws, where civil servants raise their hands and they do the right things, as the majority of them do. But this is dedicated to the notion that legislators pass budgets. Legislators take care of the needs of the American people. This is dedicated to the ideal of the United States of America that seems to be so lost on the bags of shit that inhabit our government today. So, on that happy note, this is for you.
Our flag shall throw to men. my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination. Because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's awesome. Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
You'll hear from him. I wonder if he'll talk about winning. You'll hear from him, I'd say probably in the next, I'll have to recheck the news. I'll leave it at that. Cloudy and 79 degrees in Quantico. Sunny at 85 at Camp Lejeune. Mostly sunny and 86 in Granbury, Texas. Sunny and 65, Big Timber, Montana. 29 Palms is sunny and 81. Getting hot in 29 Palms. I'll tell you what the high today is. Looking for a high of 102. Wow. Friday, wind at 97 in 29 Palms. And Saturday, wind at only 90. Whoa. Winter. Winter is going to set in. All right. Camp Pendleton. Cloudy and 61. Okinawa, dark, raining, and 75. So it's cooled off there a little bit. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where the Marines from Task Force Southwest are working, it is sunny and 104 late in the day. At the home of All Marine Radio, where there's a weather alert out, not exactly sure what that's all about. Yeah, Marsha, 104 degrees reporting in right now. A marine weather statement is in effect until 11:30 a.m. today. I'm not exactly sure my ex-wife asked me, hey, can you pick up Colleen today? Yes. Oh, Catherine's coming to eat. I need you to go by and pick this up. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Anything else you need me to do? No, that's all right. All right. Looking for a high of 77 degrees today in beautiful Southern California. Winds will be out of the southwest at 10 to 15. For tonight, clouds and 63 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and 74. And then on Saturday, clouds and 67.
In June?
Global warming, man. El Nino. That's right. All right, we'll take a break. News headlines coming up next. Email. Good morning, Mac. Hey, if time permits, like we're ever rushed for time, right? If time permits, would you have the gunner describe for those who don't have military experience what the qualifications of a Marine gunner are? What do they actually do? For example, versus other similar ranks and title, be well. Dave from Vacaville. Yeah, I'll do that. And that's why I say the rank made specifically with Michael Musselman in mind. Okay? So he'll describe for you the qualifications, how you become one, and then how you get promoted. But this is what the gunner, why, and let me tell you why his experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan are kind of one of a kind, honestly. He's a special advisor to the commanding officer of the unit. So when he's in a battalion, he's a special advisor. Now, there's some people that could handle that kind of responsibility, right? In the course of normal human events. Mike Musselman cannot, okay? He gets confused. He believes that he's the commanding officer or he's some version of a commanding officer kind of sort, okay? So some people tread lightly in that situation. Mike does not tread lightly. He assumes it in all circumstances thereunto pertaining. Yeah. Yeah. Some people are reluctant to put that on. He is not. Okay? In fact, some people not only are not reluctant, but they fully embrace and exploit all privileges thereunto pertaining. He would be among the exploiters. He would be first in line. Okay? There's a line in the movie The Wind and the Lion where Sean Connery, who plays a Barbary pirate, right? Right, during the whole Shores of Tripoli when Presley O'Banion kind of rolling around, so kind of in that era, a little bit later though. Anyway, so the story goes he captures an American dependent and her two kids, and he winds up writing a letter to President Roosevelt. You are like the wind. You don't, not knowing your place. That's kind of what the gunner is. He doesn't know his place. And he had a rank and a job that allowed him to just abuse his own personal inclination. So it was the marriage of two forces, one, his personality, and two, his rank, promoted his independence and his, I'll go wherever I need to go. And, oh, I don't work for you. I work for him. So he's rolling around just abusing it. Going where he wants to go, doing what he wants to do. Yeah. And as a result, he got to go and do stuff that, I mean, most people have jobs like, yeah, I've got to be here doing this. Mike got to pick some of that stuff. And then if he wanted to go do that, you know, he would find a way to finagle it to go do his thing. Yeah. So that's why you see, and then I'm on the other hand, I'm in an operations center, and that's why we're involved in a lot of, you know, we have three combat tours, you know, that together. Gunner tends to be out at the point of impact. I'm at the point of orchestration. And so we have very different perspectives. He, the more fortunate among us, certainly. But my point about him, he was made for his job. That job that the Marine Corps created, his personality, his kind of don't tell me what to do, and his inquisitiveness, and also his defiance, all made him a very unique asset and a teller of the truth, no matter what people wanted to hear. He not afraid to tell the truth, which is refreshing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get him to explain his own pineapple rank. Yeah, if you've never seen it, it's pretty funny. It looks like a pineapple. It's a bursting bomb, okay? And there is this, there's this warrant officers used to be called gunners. And then the Marine Corps made certain gunners, gave them the official title of gunner. So he can go through the history of it. But they bristle, like if I'm a NBC warrant officer, and Mike's standing around, and you walk up, and you kind of, you're an older school Marine, and you say to the warrant officer, the NBC dude, hey, gunner. Mike, if Mike's anywhere near, he's like, yeah, what's up? Like, well, I was talking to him. Well, you could have been, because he's not a gunner. He's a warrant officer. Mike's not afraid to dial up the awkwardness. And it's awesome when you're standing there. All right, so with all that fun stuff said, we'll check news headlines next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. Then you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. But wanting my cake and eat it too. And wanting it both ways. Fame made me a balloon. Cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing. Cause all I wanted to do.
You know, the other things that you see reported, and you watch TV, and you're just like,
sheep, two sheep, going cuckoo, and cuckoo is cool, keep. But I'm actually weirder than you think, 'cause I'm friends with the monster, the son of my
the and you see that the Pentagon was taken by surprise by us, by the president saying that, that we will pause joint exercises in South Korea, which North Korea takes as a provocation. And so you see that story, and you see Mattis being quoted as saying, "I was consulted. I support it. It was not a surprise." And you know, so it's just like, I don't know. It's just discouraging. The other thing that irritated me about all of this was, okay, so we didn't want John Bolton involved in any of this, right? Right. Why didn't we want John? Oh, he's too much of a hawk. And now with Mike Pompeo, we're never going to see peace. So now what you're going to say is Trump's been taken to the cleaners with Pompeo and Bolton at his side because they're too soft. And that's what you want me to believe. And throw Mattis into the group because he's in that small group as well. So Pompeo, Bolton, and Mattis all got fleeced by North Korea. Yes? Bullshit. It's just, you know what, again, it's just the media being the media, which is feeding the 24-hour news cycle and irritating me. So I wanted to get that off my chest. All right. My chest, a crowded place. News headlines in Marineland. Marine Raiders get a new CO. Major General Daniel Yoo, Commander of Special Operations Command Pacific, is slated to replace Major General Carl Monday III as Commander of the Marine, I don't know, a commando unit? We don't have commandos, all right? Of Marine Raiders. How about that? We don't have commandos. All right, next headline. Trump claim raises eyebrows. North Korea no longer a nuclear threat? Again, got to understand the spirit of the statement. If you want to split, I won't even say split hairs. If you want to interpret it literally, it is incorrect. All right? Yep. The most interesting article in Marine Corps Times today, written by Todd South. Headline, no more Army Advisor Brigades or amphibious ships? This proposed report could radically change how the services fight. A Senate committee is asking for a report that could radically alter the roles and missions of the services, especially the Army and the Marine Corps. Senate Bill 2987 calls for the services to put together this report by February. However, the bill is still in draft form and would require House agreement to become law. The proposal for the report suggests the Marine Corps could take over all counterinsurgency missions from the Army, thereby eliminating the newly established and deployed Security Force Assistance Brigade. The bill's authors instead want the Army to beef up its presence in the great power competition against Russia and China by increasing the size and strength of its vehicle fleet. The service would also use more drones and fewer manned aircraft to support ground units in the multi-domain fight. The Senate Armed Service Committee's request also calls for the service to conduct or provide the following. Number one, an assessment on whether the joint force would benefit from having one service dedicated primarily to low-intensity missions, thereby enabling others to focus more exclusively on advanced peer competition. You know, my own personal opinion, whether the Army or the Navy or the Army or the Marine Corps specializes in it, both would have to contribute. For instance, if Iraq happened again, one service is not going to be able to do the whole thing. So I'm somewhat curious about that. And if you go to a peer war, you're going to need both anyway. So I don't understand the, and I know what they're not talking about is an either or proposition, but I mean, your infantry units tend to be generalists. Yeah, they can specialize in stuff, but they've got to do windows. They've got to do carpets. They've got to do ceiling. They've got to get the Swiffer out and be able to dust too. Yeah. A detailed description and accompanying justification for the total amount of forces required to perform the security force assistance mission and the planned geographic employment of such forces. Now, I think that should be done no matter what. A revalidation of the Army plan to construct 6 security force assistance brigades and an assessment of the impact, if any, of such plans on the capability of the Army to perform its primary roles under the National Defense Strategy. Yeah, so this is kind of calling into question the Army's whole advisor brigade strategy. And the next one, an assessment of whether the security force assistance mission would be better performed by the Marine Corps, and an assessment of the end strength and force composition changes, if any, required for the Marine Corps to assume such a mission. The analysis isn't limited to ground forces either. The Senate Armed Services Committee wants an assessment of the feasibility of current plans and investments by the Navy and the Marine Corps to operate and defend their sea bases in contested environments. Kind of interesting stuff here. I know it sounds boring, but it's not. Senate Armed Services Committee is asking the Pentagon to conduct the following. An assessment whether amphibious force entry operations against advanced peer competitors should remain an enduring mission for the joint force, considering the stressing operational nature and significant resource requirements of such missions. Bottom line, what they're saying is a lot of money is required for that mission. We're not dense enough relative to ships, so they get stressed a lot, which means they're being repaired a lot, and it ain't working. Do we still need to do it? An assessment of whether a transition from large deck amphib ships to small aircraft carriers would result in a more lethal and survivable Marine Corps sea base that could accommodate larger number of more diverse strike aircraft. Whoa. An assessment of the manner in which an acceleration of development and fielding of longer range unmanned carrier suitable strike aircraft could better meet operational requirements and alter the requirement for shorter range manned tactical aircraft. Looking over the horizon, all those pilots, we told them, their days are numbered. Senators are seeking, relative to special operations, a detailed assessment of whether the Joint Special Operation Enterprise is currently performing too many missions worldwide and whether any such missions could be performed adequately and more economically by conventional units. All right, we go back to the advisor brigade, blah, 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 blah. A detailed assessment, no, and whether they could pick up some of these missions, so conventional forces picking those up, blah, blah, blah. But that kind of, well, all right, that's part of the overall assessment. A detailed assessment of whether the global allocation of special operations forces, and especially the most capable units, is aligned to the pacing threats and priority missions of the National Defense Strategy. Finally, a detailed description of the changes required to align the Joint Special Operations Enterprise more effectively with the National Defense Strategy. So, what you're seeing here, all right, is the Senate Armed Services Committee saying, are we aligned appropriately given our national security strategy and the emerging threats in the world? Or are we misaligned? Or is the amphibious thing still a requirement? Are there different ways that we could do that would accommodate more strike aircraft as opposed to the way we're doing it today? So it'll be interesting to see if it'll be interesting to see if that passes. But by far, that's the most interesting, because that would be, some of that stuff would be revolutionary in concept. Also, another story. This is a bit shocking. 15,851 U.S. service members have died since 2006. Here's why. The report breaks down casualties by OCO or non-OCO death, where OCO is defined as a military operation in which members of the armed forces are or may become involved in military actions, operations, or hostilities against an enemy of the United States or against an opposing military force. That covers a vast number of military operations, although it does not cover individuals killed during training and equip operations. Okay. OCO. OCO money? Yeah, that was big. That was big, big, big money. OCO money. Okay. 72% of the overall casualties, 11,341 deaths, occurred under circumstances unrelated to America's ongoing wars, the report found. 93% of all these casualties, so 93% of the 11,300, occurred in the United States, although incidents happened in over 70 nations around the world. Accidents, self-inflicted wounds, or illnesses made up the majority of these casualties. Roughly 14% of the deaths away from the battlefield were related to substance abuse of non-OCO accidental deaths. So, wow, substance abuse. Holy shit. That's a big number, 14%. Approximately 16% of all non-OCO deaths, or 1,800, involved vehicles. So, substance abuse is at 14%. Vehicles are 16%, so there's a third of them right there. The report attributes 4,500 service deaths to war-related activities spread over 25 nations. All right. Almost half of these were the result of IEDs. Unsurprisingly, the majority of operations-related casualties came in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Iraq, 2,177 troops have been killed since 2006. Half the casualties are related to IEDs. Of those not killed by IEDs, approximately 38% died under non-hostile conditions, the results of accidents or injuries suffered away from combat. That's rough. You know, that's rough. People being electrocuted, people dying in car accidents, all that kind of shit. In Afghanistan, the U.S. has suffered 1,961 casualties, with nearly half, 47%, attributed to IEDs. Forces also suffered heavily from gunshot wounds or other physical trauma while on the battlefield. Notably, the report found that a substantial number of casualties in Afghanistan, 162, or over 8%, came from the loss of ground or air vehicles. The vast majority happened under non-hostile conditions. So, let's see. Accident, self-inflicted, illness, injury, killed in action, died of wounds. Okay, so if you look at a percentage of the total, all right, number one cause of death in the American military is accident. Number two, self-inflicted. Number three, illness or injury. Number four, killed in action. Number five, died of wounds, which means you suffered the wound, you came home, after a prolonged period of treatment, you ultimately died of your wound. That's 5.5%. Followed by homicides, 3.1%. That's actually hard, much harder than I thought it would be. Undetermined, 1.7%. Terrorists, less than 1%. While captured, less than 1%. Grand total of 4. Attributed to terrorists, 20. So, interesting kind of demographics of death in among those who serve. Yeah, so pretty interesting little article. A couple interesting articles in Marine Corps Times today. Also, one of the things I didn't talk about yesterday that I neglected, not meaning to, by the way, just other things going on, is what's going on in Yemen. If you haven't been paying attention, because there's other things in the world that have your attention, the Saudi-led coalition in Yemen has requested the United States to become directly involved in and support their attack on the port city of Hodeida, H-O-D-E-I-D-A. All right, Yemen's got this civil war. Iran, that's where the Iranian-backed missiles that are being shot at Riyadh are. The Saudi-led coalition, which is backing Yemen's exiled government, launched an assault Wednesday, that would be yesterday, on Hodeida, according to the Associated Press. It's the biggest offensive of the multi-year-long war in Yemen. So it's not a small deal. So anyway, Associated Press stories busting out all over. So we'll keep our eye on that because it's what we do, right? We get maps out, we will track it because the Saudis don't seem to be very adept at shutting that kind of stuff down quickly, right? On Wednesday, Pentagon spokesman reiterated that the U.S. has been supplying targeting information to the Saudi-led coalition, as well as refueling their war plans, but was not involved in military options at the port. Quote, we do not provide any additional support to the Saudi coalition military operations. Pentagon spokesman Marine Major Adrian Rankin Galloway told the Associated Press. So, again, this is the Houthi rebels, all of that. Saudis kicking it up a notch in Yemen. We'll keep our eye on that. Early bird stories. We're going to... are we going to do that? 47 minutes. No, we're not going to do it. All right. We're going to take a break. Top five stories in the early bird today. Here's why military retirees could see more major hikes in TRICARE fees is one. Number two is the story I just discussed about U.S. Service member fatalities. Number three, First Security Force Assistance Brigade has been in Afghanistan for almost 100 days. This is what they've been up to. Interesting story about transferring that to the Marine Corps. Four, what would deeper involvement in Yemen mean for U.S. troops? Just talked about that. And five, Turkey's economic crisis has just begun. Interesting to keep your eye on Turkey as well. Mr. Erdogan has taken that country in a direction that it has avoided for a long, long time. So, and there will be consequences to it as they cozy up to Russia and Iran. So, be interesting. We're going to take a quick break. On the backside of this, you'll hear General Neller at the Naval War College talking about current strategy, giving the keynote address there. Interesting stuff. More of All Marine Radio continues right after this.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SimpliFund.org.